Welcome to Penn Weekly. We're back from a two-month hiatus, and right now we actually have a new sponsor, 33clip.com, the ultimate sports media social networking website. And right now we have Sun Penn back on the line. Sun, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a long break. How have you been?
Been good, you know, been catching up on a lot of things. Season, mostly the Dodgers, or I should say mainly the Dodgers, and, you know, NBA free agency talks and see what teams are getting put together. And that's about it, right? Basically, and, you know, the main storyline going on sports right now.
All right, yeah. So right now it's August 6th. So what we're going to go ahead and do is just run down through the summer worth of stories. Let's go ahead and just start off with the June NBA Finals. I've been wanting to ask you, what was San Antonio like after Game 6 where the Heat came back to win it in overtime?
You're digging up old bones. you know, I actually remember that. I think about how many seconds left, 35, 30 seconds left.
Seems as though the Spurs have clinched the title. They're up 5. LeBron James missed a 3-pointer, and they
didn't get the rebound. LeBron James got it back and hit a 3. And before that, though, the people who are watching the game with their all Spurs fans, they were getting to get ready to go downtown, which is, I guess, part of the Spurs playoff success tradition, where they
celebrate. And they're getting ready for it all. Then the unthinkable happens, and
the Heat come back and tie the game, send it overtime. You know, ultimately won the series. But, you know, the scene after the Game 6 was pretty disappointing. A lot of people said they didn't want to watch the next game. And, you know, just, but really, they didn't really blame anybody. I was trying to point fingers, but nobody really wanted to point a finger at any person, just they missed an opportunity. And the Heat played really well in those moments.
Yeah, it was a really, really wonderful series. And I didn't know that people like to celebrate downtown for the Spurs. I mean, that must have been the most grim and disappointing mood in the city. I couldn't even imagine what that would feel like, being so close and then, you know, having it all taken away. So, wow, this has been a really interesting experience.
Yeah, you know, Kawhi Leonard missed those. Well, he didn't miss those. He missed one free throw.
Ginobili missed a free throw. If you want to scapegoat anybody, it'd be Ginobili and his 10 turnovers. I think it was 9, actually.
In Game 7, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he... A lot of people in San Antonio actually turned their backs on Ginobili. They want him out of here. But
yeah,
the funny thing is that Ginobili was everybody's favorite player up until that series, probably. I think the majority of people in San Antonio's favorite player, but after that series, everybody said they want him out of here. I think it's so funny that they turned their backs so fast.
Yes, that's how the sports cycle goes. But, I mean, he was actually the hero, I think, in Game 4. And everyone thought he was the, you know, MVP all-star. And then he just came back with two giant stinkers. But that's going to be it was a wonderful series. I was happy to see the Spurs lose. So it was a great. And it was also really fun to see Tim Duncan play hard and do well until the second half of that Game 6, I think. Just ran up, yeah. But, yeah, that was the NBA Finals. Let's go ahead and move on. The NBA Draft. I actually wasn't very excited about that. Nobody in that draft seemed like they were going to be an all-star.
I don't know. Oladipo could be an all-star. A lot of comparisons is Dwayne Wade. Which, who knows? Oladipo's only, I think he was only a junior. Is he a junior? Came out as a junior?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I could be wrong about that, but I like Oladipo. I think he's going to be the best player in the draft, out of this draft. But, yeah, any All-Stars, I don't know. You know, everybody knows about next year with all the great players, Wiggins, Randall, Parker. You know, Marcus Smart's coming, probably coming out. Actually, he said he is coming out. But right there is already four great players that could be All-Stars. A lot of teams will not play their best or do their best to win games next year.
I hope the Lakers are a part of that group. Even though Kobe Bryant says he'll be back by the start of preseason this year, which seems impossible, but according to what he said today, he says he'll be back by the time preseason starts.
Yeah, I really think that Kobe Bryant is taking PEDs.
Yeah, he's like A-Rod. You know, they're just way ahead of the curve in testing. I mean, A-Rod's never been caught cheating. He's just been implicated in a cheating scandal. And I think that's the same thing with Kobe Bryant. They're just ahead of testing.
Yeah, you know, if somebody told me Kobe Bryant whether or not he is cheating or not, I would say that he probably is, given his medical history, has fast recovery times. And, you know, what he is really willing to do anything it takes to stay competitive and at
an elite level. So would not surprise me one bit that he has been taking PED for the last 3, 4, or 5 years.
Oh, yeah, no surprise here either. So let's go ahead and move on then.
Well, wait, I have one question. How would it affect his legacy if it were to come out that he had been taking PEDs for the last 3 years?
It affected very much so. You know, all those points, all those All-Star appearances, you know, you have to take back some of that warrior mentality legacy that he had. And it'd be pretty tarnished, actually, because there hasn't been an elite player in the NBA who's been a part of PED, so it'd be unprecedented. And you'd probably go through a lot of vitriol.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he takes Adderall. He only sleeps like 3 hours a day.
For sure. If that's the only thing he's taking.
Yeah. Anyway, what were you going to say? All right, move on to.
Let's move on to, let's see, what happened in July. NBA free agency, that's what happened. Were you surprised about Dwight Howard's defection from the Lakers to the Rockets?
No, not at all. Why would Dwight Howard, I mean, give me one reason why Dwight Howard would want to stay with the Lakers.
He lives in L.A.
Okay, well, is that the only reason?
That's the only reason.
Yeah. Now, he doesn't have to play with Kobe Bryant. He doesn't have to play with Mike D'Antoni. He doesn't have to be on a team run by Jimmy Buss. And that, you know, for whatever, well, I do know the reason, refuses to hire Phil Jackson as a coach or a consultant or hire Phil Jackson's guys, although Kurt Rambis did get hired. I see Kurt Rambis more as a Laker guy than a Phil Jackson guy, though.
Right.
He doesn't have to pay as much in child support in Texas, I mean, in California as he does in Texas. the child support laws are more lenient in Texas, actually. One reason that who was the rapper that was talking about it? Slim Thug? I can't remember.
Oh yeah, Slim Thug. Yeah, he gave a lot of funny reasons. He pretty much set the case there.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, so he gets to party with James Harden all the time. What more can you ask for the Houston Rockets? Although they probably run the same offense as the Lakers. Or Mike D'Antoni would want to run as Lakers coach.
Yeah, I think Dwight Howard made the right choice. And the pulse out here in LA is pretty much just basically like good riddance. And pretty much what everyone feels is what Ice Cube said. See you later, Dwight Coward.
You know, I think the only reason people wanted Dwight Howard to stay with the Lakers as a Laker fan was, you know, I think the kind of the same mentality, like a guy who, you know, has never been dumped. He just didn't want to be dumped, but he didn't really care about the relationship.
yeah, I think that's a good analogy. Yeah. It's weird to see somebody leave, but, you know, everyone's like, good riddance, you know. He didn't do anything here anyways. And, you know, hopefully, everyone's hoping for a tankapalooza, but I don't think that's going to happen with the Lakers. I think they'll just be hovering around 500 again this year.
Yeah, I think bad enough where they don't make a playoffs, or, but, I mean, also not bad enough to have a good lottery pick, which, oh, they do have one, actually.
They do have their one left next year, so, maybe they trade Pau Gasol at the end of the season, and then they just have Kobe Bryant try to score 45 points a game.
Yeah, this is going to be a really, really tough team to watch, I think. But, you know, hope, and I, you know what? I also think in 2014, they're not going to be able to sign a top-tier free agent like LeBron James.
Yeah.
Forget LeBron. He's not coming, but Carmelo Anthony, probably not coming there. Who else is out there?
DeMarcus Cousins is out there.
He's restricted, though.
That's true. Let's see. Who else? There's
Rudy
Gay.
Rudy Gay. There's Rudy Gay.
Rudy Gay. There's Rudy Gay. You know,
yeah,
there's really no franchise-changing guys. I mean, franchise-changing guys are in the draft. And, you know, let's try to get, you know, Andre Wiggins or Jabari Parker in there.
Yeah, that's what I would want. But
I maybe get both. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Oh, I guess Kobe Bryant will be a free agent.
You know, he says he doesn't want to take a pay cut, though. I think he's going to change his mind eventually.
Yeah, I think he will. You know, they might get Chris Bosh, Luol Deng. They will not get Paul George.
Or Kyrie Irving.
Or Kyrie Irving. I think they have a really, really good chance of getting Kevin Love. I can almost I'd say there's a 90% chance Kevin Love will be on the Lakers. 90%.
Really?
Yeah, he's opting out after 2015. And he's an unrestricted free agent. He will not go back to the T-Wolves if the Lakers have cap space. No question.
Yeah, hopefully that works out. It'd be great to have anybody who's a superstar come to L.A. and not think of the joint like Dwight Howard did.
Yeah, so maybe Greg Oden.
maybe. Let's see. Well, let's go ahead and move on to other news. Probably the biggest football news coming out of the off-season is the awful story about Aaron Hernandez and his charge for murder in an execution style. Just shocking and unbelievable type of story coming out of New England. Now, when you first heard this story, did you expect him to be a murder suspect?
Yeah, I expect him to be part of the a murder case. I also did not expect them to be part of another double homicide murder case in 2012 or another alleged case where he shot a guy in the eye.
This guy, oh my gosh.
You know, and the Patriots kind of, I kind of like what the Patriots did. They just cut him and they're like, done.
As cold as that sounds, I think they did the exactly right thing. Just cut all ties to this guy who quite possibly was getting touchdown passes last year while he killed two people. Can you believe it? That Tom Brady was throwing to a alleged murderer last year. Allegedly put two guys in the grave while he was catching touchdown passes.
Yeah, then he killed another guy, allegedly, most likely.
It was like a gruesome execution style. I mean,
yeah. And it's kind of weird. His uncle just got killed in a car accident or moped accident, I think.
Right.
There's some fishy business going on with this whole Aaron Hernandez case. I think it's, quite unfortunate for the victim and, his family and friends. And I think it's just a really bad story. But I do applaud what the Patriots have done with just cutting all ties. And, they really limited the distractions. I mean, can you imagine another team just how like the Jets? Let's say you found out Mark Sanchez committed arson and burned up family or something like that. There'd be so many questions about it.
and 1 million unnamed sources. Everybody would be talking.
Yeah, exactly. But the Patriots have kept a lid on it. They haven't made any. I haven't heard one single. I guess you're gonna say, bulletin board quote, not bulletin board, but newsworthy quote out of the Patriots camp about Aaron Hernandez. Not even one. I don't remember a single one.
Oh, none. Everybody just, they just tried to cut ties, move on, sympathize with the victims, and they did it the Patriot way, cold and calculated.
I think that
worked the best for the team.
I think the Patriot way is kind of overblown and getting almost to become a parody of itself, but that's whatever. That's another subject.
It's true. There's a joke I could have used. I don't know, it might be a little bit tasteless. And it allegedly might have admitted his murders. Have control of the media. And what a bizarre story. So unbelievable.
So I have a question for you then. All right. I have a question for you as a Patriot fan. How do you feel about Aaron Hernandez rooting for alleged multiple murderer?
Here's what happened. At first, I was like, oh, he's a suspect in the murder case. I'm sure his friend did something and he was just around. And I didn't expect it. I'm like, oh. And then as the details unfolded about the crime and the timeline, I was just appalled. I was like, I can't believe I was cheering on somebody who could do such an awful thing. And I just felt betrayed. And, I was like, good riddance. I mean, after hearing the timeline, after you kind of have hope, you're like, oh, maybe he's innocent. But after you hear what the police's evidence against Hernandez, you're just like, oh my gosh, this guy is just cold blooded. So, and the police have built a really strong case. I'd be surprised if Aaron Hernandez was found not guilty. But apparently, Aaron Hernandez does feel like he's not guilty from the letters he writes from jail to fans. From a football perspective, you're like, oh, well, who the Patriots win the season without any type of offensive production. And it doesn't look like they'll be able to win this year just because it's such a big distraction. I mean, this guy was somebody that traveled with, ate with, and Tom Brady was probably having conversations, you know, about recently seen movies where they're talking about Django Unchained, and, you know, now Tom Brady's like, you know, Aaron Hernandez probably did that stuff in Django Unchained. He's talking to me about it. I mean, that stuff just doesn't wash away, you know, spending time with the alleged murderer. So, you know, I think this season is a wash, and you know, there's going to be a lot of new players next year.
You don't think Tim Tebow can save the season?
You know, I think Tim Tebow, I'm glad he's there because he offers such a great balance in all things. He's a great guy, and I really hope he becomes a tight end and just turns the team around. The Patriots are really secret about what they use him for. So he actually catches passes and does different things in practice. So,
is he gonna be a punt protector?
Whatever he does, I think he's gonna have confidence in doing. Unlike the Jets, where it just didn't look like he had any idea or any confidence in what they were making him do.
Oh, they made him become a punt protector.
You know, which I didn't understand.
Yeah, that made no sense. I don't know what's going on. Really,
not the best use of his talent.
No, that was kind of fishy what they were doing with him.
Not so a story that was just dominated the headlines. I guess moving on, we could talk about the Dodgers and Yasiel Puig. You know, my question about Yasiel Puig is, how did he get to America?
Oh, I don't know. Like, by raft or something? Is that what you're asking?
No. There's a lot of funny conspiracy theories, actually, because he's attempted to come across to America multiple times, and he's been caught by the Coast Guard, you know, like four or five times, and they sent him back to Cuba, and he tries to come back, and Yasiel Puig doesn't ever want to talk about it. You know, you ask him about it, he'll decline to comment. But basically, the most interesting story is he snuck abroad to Mexico through drug smugglers. And he snuck into America from Mexico. And he promised the drug smugglers a portion of his salary as payment, and that's how he came over to America.
Oh my gosh, this sounds like a TV drama.
So I think there's a lot of different conspiracy theories, but as a Dodger fan, I'm just happy that he's here, and hopefully he doesn't run into trouble with any Mexican drug cartels.
Yeah, I hope so too. There's another story, but he's getting sued by somebody in Cuba for being an informant or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of jealous people out there. One of the pieces that Yasiel Puig.
He does have a pretty good contract for a rookie, seven years, $42 million.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He's worth every penny. I mean, this guy is just built like a monster.
Yeah, He's very similar to Bo Jackson. He's been compared to. I think Bo Jackson's probably a better athlete, but yeah, they're very similar, similar body types and talent wise as well.
Oh, yeah, this guy's a monster. Hopefully, he continues to just play so hard. I think my favorite part about Yasiel Puig is his home run bat flip. You think he has the best bat flip in the league?
Well, he's not afraid to do it. I think my favorite thing about, well, non good thing that he does is all the tooth glands he has. So stupid.
The what?
Tooth gland is a baseball term. It's an acronym. It stands for thrown out on the base path like a nincompoop. So too bland. He has like maybe one per game where he just gets thrown out for no reason, just doing stupid stuff.
Really? Like getting picked off?
He gets picked off, or he always tries to go for the extra base, or he gets thrown out at third with two outs with Adrian Gonzalez on deck, and he just does so many stupid stuff.
Oh, really? I didn't know about his base running errors.
Yeah, I think he has a negative WAR on the base paths as a runner. I think he's like negative one WAR running. You know, he has plus speed. Yeah,
it's because he's a young player. You know, he overestimates his ability.
Yeah, he probably has like 22 plans this year.
Wow. Oh wow.
That's an exaggeration. He probably has like 8, but it's a lot. You watch him play. He's like one of those guys when he play like intramural softball, they always try to run to third on a single. That's why he plays. He's always trying to take the extra base. I mean, sometimes it works. One time I saw him score from second on a ground out.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, he didn't stop running. He just ran all the way around. I mean, he didn't slow down 1 second.
Oh my goodness. This guy is just reckless.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it works, like I said, but a lot of times he just gets thrown out. Happens a lot.
So he's a pretty electrifying player. And hopefully, you know, the Dodgers are able to make the playoffs and hopefully win the World Series.
They have a really good pitching rotation, actually. 1, 2, 3, top 3. And that's really good for the playoffs.
Yeah, a solid pitching rotation. And, you know, the NL looks wide open.
I don't know. The Cardinals are really good.
Oh, we just beat the Cardinals.
Actually, they just lost to them today. But, yeah, they won yesterday.
We'll see about the Cardinals. Let's go ahead and move on. I guess the other big story is Eagles wide receiver Riley Cooper says that a racial slur in a belligerent manner at a Kenny Chesney concert. How do you think this situation will play out?
Honestly, I think it will result in Riley Cooper staying on the team. I think he is, from what I've seen and what I've gathered, he seems pretty sincere but in his apologies. And as of, you know, today I saw that a few of his teammates had, you know, high-fived him, give him chest bumps, like he said, and said that he felt like he was part of the team. Not exactly all the way, but, you know, like building blocks or baby steps. So I think he'll stay on the team. I mean, they don't really have any other receivers on that team. They have, just repeating what I heard on TV, but they have two receivers that have 9 receivers on the roster, and of all the 9, only 2 of them have NFL experience. 7 of them are undrafted rookie free agents.
Oh wow, yeah, they need them, and they have DeSean Jackson. And, I guess I guess they do need him. And I think the first thing Riley Cooper needs to do is cut his Nickelback hair. maybe it'll calm the situation down.
I think the happiest guy about all of this is Michael Vick. They're like, no, nobody, the dog fighting ain't so bad anymore, is it?
I originally thought he was going to be cut just because of how the team was reacting to him. Like he was standing alone. Players didn't want to interact with him anymore. You know, his friends on the team, like LeSean McCoy, don't even want to be friends with him anymore. I mean, I imagine it'd be a big distraction, especially how strong everybody felt about what he said. And the funny thing is race is such a hard topic to cover. And hearing ESPN analysts talk about it is pretty interesting because, you know, they normally have an African-American analyst. So what they did was they paired their African-American analyst with a white analyst. So you had like Merrill Hodge and Herm Edwards talking, and Herm Edwards is definitely really upset about Riley Cooper. And then Merrill Hodge, yes, he's upset too, but he said something like, even as a white person, I'm really upset. I don't know if he even needs to preface that.
I understand it both ways, but yeah, it's interesting how it's being handled. The thing is, people play with dog, people with dog fighting and steroid users. Ray Lewis, murderer possibly. What did he plead to? Obstruction of justice, something like that.
Yeah, that's what everyone thought Aaron Hernandez was going to do. But too many cameras these days. Just too many cameras of Aaron Hernandez walking around with a gun and texting people.
Didn't Aaron Hernandez like destroy his cameras in his house after the night of the murder? But it's like recorded somewhere. Does he not know how cameras work?
Yeah. He destroys the cameras after he comes back with the gun. He was probably high at the time since they were smoking marijuana smoke. So. The rental car wasn't in his name.
Yeah. I mean, but they still haven't found the gun or the murder weapon.
Oh, you probably talked to them late. They've been combing through that pond for a long time. I don't think they need it. I think the evidence is pretty strong.
Yeah, but I don't think they'll find it.
I guess some of the evidence is circumstantial, but from all the footage, forensic evidence in the car, does not look good. Anyways, talking about the ESPN guys, I think Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser, they had an interesting debate about it, too. Wilbon was irate. Kornheiser, less irate. Tried to match Wilbon's intensity, but he couldn't quite get there.
Yeah,
and same thing with Stephen A. and Skip Bayless.
Yeah, I was actually on vacation during that whole time, so I really didn't catch too much TV or debate on TV. So, but I can imagine, I suppose.
Oh yeah. It's pretty touchy. Kenny Chesney had to come out and say a few words and say, not all our fans are like that.
Just the ones that buy the records. Just kidding.
For the past couple months, I think those are the biggest stories. Or at least most interesting stories. I mean, you have a MLB. It's just gone to a comical level, suspending A-Rod for 211 games and searching for Ryan Braun at all possible angles. So it's getting pretty nuts in baseball with the PED scandal.
Yeah, I really think that was an excessive suspension amount of games for A-Rod. 10 odd games. I mean, that's a lot of games. I think he has a great chance of reducing that to 100 games or even 50 games as his first offense. What? Well, no, he's never been caught for anything. So it would be his first offense.
But he did admit it, so, but he was never caught.
Yeah, but he admitted using it when there was no penalty in place. They really couldn't do anything about it. And so under the new penalty system, he's never been caught or tested positive. So it would be his first offense. But C-League just wants to make an example out of him. A lot of conspiracy theories about him trying to help the Yankees alleviate whatever the amount of his contract, some 30 some million, as well as
contract 100 million.
I think 80 million. I don't know if it's that much. I think it's more than that actually, but they're just trying to not pay as much of his contract as possible by him being on the disabled list and having insurance pay it, or him being suspended, which doesn't seem too far-fetched to me, at least. That's what they're trying to do. Also, it would save them money to keep them under the luxury tax, which has been one of their goals, actually.
And it'll prevent A-Rod from hitting 700 home runs.
He's probably not going to get there anyway, but...
Oh, not anymore. He'll be 40 when the suspension's lifted.
Yeah, but he'll play all of this the rest of this year. I don't think he'll be... I think 50 games. I mean, obstruction of justice by trying to buy the documents from that guy, Tony Bosch, or whatever the biogenesis clinic. I mean, Melky Cabrera made a fake website. He didn't get extra games. There's a lot of precedent on what has happened and what the suspensions have been. So it's hard to say that Alex Rodriguez should be suspended more for doing something similar to what Melky Cabrera did and not Melky Cabrera not getting an additional games on top of the 50.
Yeah, it's a unique and bizarre situation, and I'm not sure why baseball is so bent on just punishing these PED users. It's I think it's a little bit overboard, if you ask me.
I think it's fair to punish the PED users. I think it's almost gotten to witch hunt levels. Almost, not quite, but certain players, Ryan Braun and Alex Rodriguez, they just really have a vendetta against him, it seems like, more than other players, or they like go overboard with these suspensions.
They did hunt Braun for a year and a half, trying to pin him to something.
Yeah, he got 65 games, which is, 15 more than the 50, so.
Yeah, it's interesting. Though the thing is that I've been to a few baseball games this year, and the most exciting play during a baseball game is for sure the home run. So, unfortunately, we'll be seeing a lot less of those moving forward.
Well, are you saying if it had it your way, you would let everybody take steroids so you could see more home runs?
I wouldn't say that. I'd like to see it limited. I like to see only the best players take steroids.
I don't know. Steroids is interesting. It's illegal to take Adderall or deer antler spray, but it's totally fine to get cortisone shots, which is it's really bad for you, actually. Or these platelet-rich therapy things that Kobe Bryant and Darren Williams Dwight Howard they've gone through. So I don't. There's a gray line, but it's interesting what falls on the accepted side and what doesn't.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to judge these PED things. So
painkillers are legal, like Vicodin. But, you know, steroids aren't to help you recover from injuries. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. I'm saying I want to know what's the difference health-wise, I guess.
Or if it's super synthetic, you know, if it's a man-made product, you can't use it. I'm not sure what the basis is, but I wonder what it would be like if nobody ever tried to cheat. I think you probably still have 1920s baseball, just regular dudes trying to play a sport.
Well, you know, there's always guys who get hit the baseball, but like Ken Griffey Jr., he probably didn't take steroids the way his career arc turned out. Really, really good when he was young, in his prime. Then when he got really old, he got hurt a lot and was not as good. Same with Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter. Mariano Rivera might be a PED user.
I wouldn't be surprised. This guy's really good for so long, and only has one pitch.
And he's having one of his best years this year after an ACL tear.
Yeah, when he was 41.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah, nobody does anything about that, but, you know, I would not be surprised.
Where is Mariano Rivera's witch hunt? That's what I want to know. Would it be his blood seed to come after him?
He would never come after him. I think they're fine with Mariano Rivera taking steroids.
I think that covers all the big stories for the summer sports-wise. You have anything to add?
No, I think that's all I got for now.
Yeah, so I guess what we're going to do is we're going to keep an eye out during NFL training camp, preseason. The NBA is coming back in a couple months. And then we'll keep an eye out for the Dodgers. Time for Dodger baseball. Seeing if they can win a pennant and possibly get to the World Series. So I guess the last question is, son, do you like watching sports clips on the internet?
I do from time to time.
Well, since you do, there's a great website, 33clip.com, where you're viewing all types of sports clips, especially if you have your own, or if you want to learn from others. It's a great place. Get to know people who have the same interest as you. So, you know, if you have time, go ahead and take a look at 33clip.com. You can check it out on Facebook, Twitter. I think they're coming out with an Instagram pretty soon. Google Plus, if you actually use it. But, anything else you want to add?
No, man, I'm good.
All right. Thanks for listening to Penn Weekly. And we'll see you later.